You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. All right. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. Hi, everybody. I hope that you are enjoying the end of this year. I hope that you have happy holidays. I hope you make it through emotionally. If you're a sober person, I hope you can maintain your sobriety through the holidays, which if you've done so far through this pandemic, it can't be harder than the pandemic. So I hope you keep going. Everybody else, I hope that you maintain your sanity through the holidays. Maybe enjoy yourself. Maybe. Who knows? I'm going to dive right in. Right before I began recording this week, I am recording it a little earlier. I think I mentioned that before, that I'll be recording the podcast just a couple of days. I normally release it the day of I record it, but dealing with work and scheduling, I'm going to do like most podcasts do, which is record in advance a little bit, although I'm not going to do that thing where I stack them, you know, and then future release, like record weeks in advance. That seems, if I'm just talking about bullshit about what's going on with me, it seems just kind of weird to just kind of have everything, you know, start recording. Man, it was a hot day today, and it comes out in December. It's like, whoa, I was sweating, and there's goddamn snow outside. You know, it just seems like you might, the timing would be off that way. But regardless, as I'm about to record, I take a glance at the news just before doing anything, and I notice that, like, as an released an hour before I started recording, it just said that the John Mulaney, comedian John Mulaney, checked himself into rehab for 60 days for alcohol and cocaine addiction. And wow, kind of taken aback. For those of you who have been in a cave and you don't know who John Mulaney is, he's one of the best stand-up comedians working out there. It's absolutely brilliant. But the thing about it is that he partied really hard growing up. Like, did a lot of, you know, drinking and drugs, which is weird if you see him. You're like, really? And then he stopped in 2005, I believe. When he stopped cold turkey. And so he has been, and he's not, but he stopped cold turkey. He's not like in recovery. He doesn't keep track of his, years of sobriety or anything like that. It's just, he's just like, yeah, I don't do that anymore. So in that kind of vein, you're like, you don't know if he's had a drink occasionally, but it sounded like he hasn't. And what it sounds like is this is a guy who is a workaholic. And in the same way that people who get into a 12-step program will take up their time. Like, they'll replace the lifestyle. They'll replace all the time that they spent around using and getting wasted. And you replace it with stuff. There are people who become, you know, who run miles and miles and shit like that. Who exercise, who dive into something. There are some people who dive into something like that. And also 12-step programs. So you have this wide range of people's activity in AA groups. You know, some people who will go to an occasional meeting, some people who go to every meeting, And I think that it all depends on the individual who, you know, and what they've decided their life needs. You know, some will, you know, it could be said that some are addicted to AA instead, which it's like, yeah, that could be bad and unhealthy, but also it's not as unhealthy as being back on, you know, dope or whatever the fuck, boozing it up, heroin, doesn't matter. You know, it's like, this is, you know, this is a better vice than that. And I get that. What it seems to me about Mulaney is that he is a he replaced that addiction with being a workaholic and really dove into his profession, into doing stand-up, into writing for SNL, you know, then creating his own show that didn't do, that failed, his sitcom, and then doing all, you know, going back to stand-up and doing different specials and different projects with Nick Kroll and different stuff. Now, I've seen him do interviews, you know, this year, and do a little bit of comedy. He gave an interview about, because most recently he asked Seth Meyers, who's a good friend of his, and he used to work for him because Seth Meyers was the head writer at SNL when John Mulaney was there. So he asked Seth if he could write for the show because he needed some structure. Let me get the actual quote. Hang on a second. All right. It was a Jimmy Kimmel interview. And he said that during quarantine, I was like, why am I going totally crazy? And why am I suddenly telling my own wife my accomplishments? And he described how a lack of routine can negatively affect a person's well-being. I really needed a job. One, I like having a boss and having assignments to do when I'm in charge of something, not so much the best thing. And he added that his psychiatrist agreed with the move. And this is a quote. He goes, "She said to me, without external structure, I don't have any confidence in you thriving." And she would know because I told her everything in my brain. And I think that that kind of nails it. I think that that's exactly what's happened, which is that he hasn't needed any kind of it's like, oh, was he working a recovery program? Kinda. He's working his recovery program, which is the work, which is the stuff that he was doing. And here comes the pandemic. Now he doesn't have anything to do or less to do. So you're sitting there stuck with your free time, being very introspective. You're stuck with you all day, completely aware of you and your brain all fucking day. Which, if you're somebody who likes to get high or drink, you know, there's a reason that you do that. It's like, oh, my thoughts and me. I don't want to be here for this. Not completely. How do I quiet me? Well, that's why. You know. That's why. That's why you do it. Well, it's one of the reasons. It's like, I'm bored. My brain won't shut the fuck up. Here we go. And so that's rough, man. That's, it's going to be, we still don't know at this point the ramifications of what this pandemic and lockdowns and social distancing and all that shit, what they're going to be, the long-term after effects. You know, I think that it's once they're able to, I'm hoping that with the, that starting next year, that there'll be more availability of rehab programs and funding for those so that people who are not, you know, who don't have celebrity money can be able to go, can be able to get things taken care of. Like, it's just, because I think there's going to be a lot, clearly. A lot of people have ramped up how much they've been consuming. Most people, I think. I mean, it's like, what else am I going to fucking do? Am I going to put on Netflix again? You know, there's just, it's not great, man. And it's, and I know that there was a part in here about how Mulaney has been seen hanging out with fellow comedian Pete Davidson, saying that one of his goals had been to show Davidson that you can have a life in comedy that is not insane, a sober domestic life, which kind of makes you think it. Your immediate reaction is to go, now, did he try to become a good influence on Pete, but instead Pete became a bad influence on John Mulaney? And that, as much as I would love to blame Pete Davidson for something, I would enjoy that. You know, I'd love to shit on Pete Davidson about something, because not that I don't like him. I just like, I don't get it with Pete Davidson. I don't get it. But it's somebody's sole responsibility. You can't put the blame on outside influence. Like Pete's like, come on, John, just do one line. I don't think anything like that. You know, I think that Pete Davidson thinks way too highly of John Mulaney to go, man, I'm going to bring him down to my level. I don't fucking think that at all. I just saw that Pete Davidson having all his tattoos removed. And I'm like, which I thought, all of them? All of them were a bad idea? Wow. I mean, I think they're a bad idea. They're fucking terrible. So absolutely. But anyway, I'm getting off track here. So I don't think you can't blame somebody else for that. You know, the blame is, which you shouldn't at all, because it's none of your fucking business, to be honest. It's none of my business either. But I thought that, I don't know. It's made me, you know what it made me think of, about Mulaney being in rehab? It made me think of the two rehabs I was in. Well, one rehab and one quote unquote rehab, which was this, you know, the county run program, Rehab Light. But in both, it was weird because there was a moment in both stints that I did, in my two different ones. The first rehab I did, which was a 90-day rehab, and that was, I focused very much on that was because of heroin. And the other one was because I violated probation. So that was more of a focus on sobriety as a whole and alcohol, but mainly just, you know, as a, because I had quit by the time I went in there, I had quit drinking. My thought in both of them I had was, I am easily the funniest person in rehab. Which is a weird brag to yourself. It's not something that you really want to go around, you know, hey, did you know that I was the funniest person in rehab all 90 days? All 90 days, there was not one person who was funnier than me. It's not something I would, you know, tell someone at the supermarket. Probably wouldn't bring it up. But I guarantee you John Mulaney's the funniest person in rehab. And I'm wondering, because it's weird how something will hit you like that. It's you're in the middle of, and everything's serious, but in your heart you're just kind of sitting there going, I'm funnier than that guy. Like you're in class learning about criminal thought and about how you've destroyed your life in this negative cycle, and all you can think of is, that guy cracked a joke and it was so hack. That was terrible. The structure is just bullshit. What? Oh, yes. No, I totally regret all my, I feel bad. Like, it's just, it's just something you think. On a selfish level, it bums me out because Mulaney was like my example in my head of somebody who had a problem and then just quit. And whenever I get all kind of rebellious in my head about that recovery has to be, when people act like recovery can only, like 12-step is the only recovery program. And I was like, no, there are plenty of people, including me, who did not go that route. Not that there's anything wrong with that route, but it's not the end-all be-all and the only way things work. And so that kind of bums me out that it's like, oh man, he's going to need help. But I mean, he was successful for many years. And I know that there are people who will read that, who are in AA. And you'll hear it, some of you who go to meetings, you will probably hear somebody say, well, you know, if he was in AA, he wouldn't have relapsed, which is kind of bullshit, and you don't know that. And also, eat a dick. Think that, yeah, when they say that, just kind of go, with all due respect, could you eat a dick? Because I know plenty of people who are in 12-step programs who have relapsed. Like, it's, and they always say, well, if you work in the program, you wouldn't have relapsed. Well, you know, it's all, yeah, it's up to the person and your brain. Like, it's not, you know, the infallible program. Anyway, that's not the point. One thing I hate about that, though, it's because that's the idea is, it makes you sit there and kind of wonder, as an aside, just real quick, it kind of makes you wonder, is it worth having continuous years of sobriety the whole time being an asshole about 12-step programs and going to way more meetings, like an unhealthy amount? Is it worth it versus being sober for a good chunk, but not as long, but being a tolerable, nice person to be around? I don't know. And then having an occasional slip up. That, to me, I don't know. At that point, you're starting to weigh stuff and he goes, well, is it worth the time if I'm a prick? How about an in-between? Can we find an in-between area where I'm going to do everything on my own, but I'm not like a company man, 12-stepper, who's intolerable? Where can I find that middle where I'm great, I'm a good person, I'm fun to be around, I'm not judgy, I'm not a prick, and then also maintain a relatively normal, healthy life while working my own program? That's what we all could hope for, right? That's the goal. So, man, I really wish him well. I think he's, you know, the fact that, because I saw that interview and I've seen interviews and he didn't look bad at all. Like, not, at no point have I seen anything and thought something's not right. So it's good that he didn't have an episode, like a public episode of hitting some kind of bottom to where, you know, he was forced to, as a PR move, to go into rehab. This is clearly something he wanted and needed to take care of. And that's, you know, I wish him well. And I look forward to him either talking about it, which I'm sure he will, or just moving on. Like, I could see either way. And I'm, because I'm a huge fan of his. He's one of the best ever. And it's fascinating. So it really makes you think about your own shit. It makes you think about your own recovery and your own sobriety. You know, there by the grace of God go I kind of shit. Especially during this fucking pandemic. This disruption of normalcy, of routine. Activities, all these activities that are cut that you can't do, that you have to figure new things out. It's scary, man, when you really think about it, when you really think about just the any kind of reports of the increase in alcohol sales. The, you know, I've heard from people who deal, talk about, no, yeah, I'm selling more than ever. Like the increase in usage that you know isn't healthy. What's going to happen, man? What's going to happen with everybody? I don't know. I'm optimistic. You know, some people aren't going to make it, but I'm optimistic. Yeah, and they never do. It's always like that. But I'm optimistic that we will pull out of it. And I just hope that that part of the recovery of the country, that part of aid given to people, like, you know, the relief, like this $900 billion relief package, and you know, focusing on finances and on helping small businesses and on individuals and everything. I just hope it's not overlooked. I hope it's not overlooked that they need funding. People need the ability to get funding to go to rehab because they're expensive, and they shouldn't be. They really shouldn't be. These rehab facilities shouldn't be funded by rich people's kids and federal prisoners, because that's kind of how it's been. Hope it should be available to anyone who needs help. I mean, even when there was a program for me, that's how I was able to go to rehab 9 years ago. The only reason I was able to was they had like grant programs, but they were available only to needle users and pregnant women. Clearly, I'm one of those things. I was one of those things. But that was it. But had I had a problem with coke, or if it was just pills at the time, if I had just had a problem with Oxycontin and hadn't moved on to needles yet, I couldn't have gotten help. Like if I was an alcoholic and addicted to Oxy, I couldn't have gotten in there because I didn't, you know. So in a way, it was it's a good thing that I chose to shoot up, right? No, I didn't half-ass my drug use. Boy, you guys just swallowing pills. No, it's you know, go hard or go home. That's what I always say when doing drugs. But really, that was the only reason that I got funding. So I'm hoping that they do that, man. Because I don't know. I don't think that just I mean, can you imagine that your only outlet in trying to get clean are meetings and videos on YouTube? Jesus Christ. How to on YouTube? How to get sober. Step one, watch this video. Like and subscribe. Yeah, we'll see. Well, I had some things I was going to talk about, but it just kind of got just overshadowed by this. I can't go over there. Let me tell you a funny thing I saw on the internet. It's hard to shift over to that shit, man. Yeah, you should look up an article, although I don't think you'll see anything in the article about Mulaney that I haven't just talked about, but we wish him well. As you should. You wish everybody their, you know, the best in recovery and finding what they need to stop self-destruction. you know? It also, and just reflect on it. Hopefully it reflects on, makes you think about, like I've been, and will continue to the rest of this evening, reflect on what has changed for me this year. How have I adapted to new routines? Has my behavior changed? Am I a different person? You got married. I know, but I'm the same. Anyway, yeah. So hopefully you'll reflect on that as well, especially if you're in recovery. Reflect on, how's my recovery doing? How's my sobriety doing in these times? Can I maintain that if I like what I'm doing? If I don't like what I'm doing, what can I do to change little by little, you know, one day at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time, one step at a time. Take care of yourselves. Enjoy the holidays. And I don't mean enjoy the holidays. Enjoy the holidays. You know, take a break from the news. Just enjoy the moment. And we'll see you next week. This has been the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. Later.